Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations. Limited time only. Plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everybody to Wrestling Omakase. It is episode number 89. This week, I'm very pleased to be joined by my good friend, Mr. Brian Quinlan. What is this, your fourth appearance, right? I think?
I believe
you did,
so.
You did Honor Rising last year.
I've done two here and one in All In.
Yeah, so is, here is being Casa yeah. John. Yeah. You took issue.
Oh, no, one at my place. One here, one in my place, one in Chicago.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot last time we were at your house. So you took issue with my new wall scroll since you last been here. Mm. You don't like my Hachine Miku wall scroll. So Quinlan, his first of many bad opinions to come, did not like my Miku wall scroll.
I don't really, it's not that I hate that, I like Ava.
That wasn't a wall scroll, that was a towel.
Well, I didn't know that.
So I took down the towel, replaced it with an actual wall scroll. Anyway, folks, how's it going? Thank you all for listening, as always. Before we went on the air, we were talking about great moments in Omakase background noise history. Quinlan was discussing the time that he made many loud noises in the background during the episode we recorded in Japan. So I'm glad you didn't count that as an appearance, because you were not on that episode. All you could hear was you loudly slamming the door behind us.
Closing the door once.
Loudly slamming the door. Which everybody could hear.
Unlike that awards episode, which had someone like dying of the bubonic plague live on the air. And
that was like 2 years ago.
You forgot to mute it out or something. Yeah. Because you obviously couldn't hear it, but I could.
Well... So that's, hopefully we don't have any wacky background noises.
I mean, I don't blame that person. I think they thought they were muted or something. So
yeah. You did an impression of them, like, coughing. I think it was Connor. So shout out to Connor if you listen to this episode. But yeah, so this week we're going to talk about a little eclectic mix of stuff. We're going to talk about a little bit about the Vroom Vroom Fast Lane and I guess WWE television in general. I don't know. Could people hear my girlfriend sneeze just now?
I doubt that.
I heard it all the way from here.
In my experience with a lot of radio shows, people recording the show think that everything around them, the listeners can hear when they can't.
Yes.
I've heard that from another website where they're always yelling that everyone can hear the things around them when no one can. So
you talk about F4W, aren't you?
Yeah.
But yes, so we're going to talk about that. Everybody liked your like WWE TV review last time, mm-hmm. since you're like one of the three people left on Earth that actually watches it. So you could tell us what WWE TV has been like. We'll catch up on the New Japan Cup.
What song just played, do you think?
Huh?
What song will you pick to play before the show?
Oh, I'm probably just going to play
the normal. When do you decide that, by the way?
I'm just going to play the normal opening, probably.
You got to put something in, like maybe, I don't know, since it's Fastlane, the Fast and the Furious theme song or something? I don't know.
No, I'm just going to put
it in. Do they have a theme song?
We got to get out of here after this. I want to edit the show, and then we're going to round one. Mm-hmm. So, we got stuff to do. But yeah, so, God, you made me lose my train of thought. Thank you. So, Vroom Vroom Fastlane. You can talk to us about.
Do you have the card in front of you, or do I need to pull it out?
I don't know.
Because I can't get it from the. I could grab my phone real quick.
All right. Well, don't worry about it. So, we're also going to talk about the TV, and then we got to catch up on the New Japan Cup.
Okay. So, which one are we starting with?
And then we're going to talk about Momo and Jungle, which we just watched too. Oh, yeah. So, let's start with Vroom Vroom.
Okay.
Vroom Vroom Fastlane. What did you think of the show?
Thing is, I know you stopped watching it, right?
I did go back and watch a couple of the matches.
The sad thing is, that's probably, over the last couple of years, one of the better WWE pay-per-views,
okay.
I think.
Let me
that's not off. Saying much.
Wait a second. Let me add that in. Was it the best B show of all time?
Why are people saying that?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
The best
I'm
B
sure
show...
I'm sure if I went back... What counts as B shows?
I guess like, everything except like the big four.
Oh, they've been better. There's probably been...
There's been like a
million! If we're going all the way back to the beginning, then yeah, there's been a ton.
Fucking...
This is just the best one there's been like...
In like a
like the
year?
Only two from last year that weren't... That might have been better than this were the Rumble 2018 and the women's show, Evolution. And that's
I never saw Evolution.
In 2018, those are the only two shows that I would give... I don't vote in the Observer thing, you know, for what... But those are the only two shows I would give a thumbs up. And Fastlane was I would probably barely give a thumbs up, not a thumbs up. Like, SummerSlam last year, I might give thumbs in the middle.
It was really funny.
And everything else last year was complete garbage.
Yeah.
So,
But look,
compared to the shit they've been peddling out, this was a much better paper.
But Quentin, the best B show of all time?
No, not even close.
There were some good matches. I like the four way. I like the three way. I don't understand why the fuck Rey Mysterio had to get pinned in the U.S. title four way when R-Truth was right there. But
well, because
gotta protect R-Truth.
I hate. Well, the reason was they were supposed to do a rematch. R-Truth was supposed to get a title shot against Joe this week on SmackDown. You knew that, right?
No, I had no idea.
Well, a rematch. And I assume that's why. And then that match proceeded not to happen. Instead, they had like a tag match or something. And they had it listed on the website all day. And the explanation was, well, this is supposed to be a title match. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. But it's not. And I'm like, okay. No reason. They just, okay, cool. No explanation. But you're going to acknowledge it, but then just say, you know, you didn't do it. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, we've reached a point with the World Wrestling Entertainment where everything else is so bad that like the moment they get like a 3.5-star match, it's like 5 stars.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's definitely like. I still remember that Cena AJ match from which Rumble?
2017.
Yeah, where people were saying, "Was this better than Omega Okada?" I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like
I went 4.5 on that.
I would give like 4 stars, but people were acting like it was the greatest match in WWE history. Which, like, what? Like well, this was a pretty good match compared to what they usually do. But like guys.
Well, look. Let's just talk about now though. I mean, the U.S. title four-way, good match,
yeah.
3.5 stars.
Yeah.
It's not fucking five, not
no,
4.5,
no,
not five.
No.
Same thing with the
three-way.
The three-way.
That good. Was really good, too. That was the best match of the show.
3.75, you know?
Yeah. I might go 4 stars with that
but
one.
Not 4.75.
But no.
And the fucking shit I saw people throwing around. Shield reunion. Fun match, especially towards the back half. Pretty much everything after Roman Reigns was in the ring was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Everything before that was pretty, like, nothing. Especially, like, Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin was the best part of that match. Which I find...
Yeah.
It's insane to say. And you know, everybody was making fun of the idea of them doing a singles match at Mania, and it's still probably a waste of Roman. Mm-hmm. But, like, that was the best part of that match by far. Like, everything up until that was really, really boring. And then the two of them got in the ring together and started, like... Because Roman Reigns is really good, especially with his timing and everything, you know, everything from that point forward was pretty damn good. But everything, like, all that brawling on the floor shit was so boring.
Well, why are we starting with the main event, though?
I don't know. There's not that much to... Card. I don't want to go through the whole card. Who gives a shit?
Didn't you really watch the pre-show?
I did not watch the pre-show.
The New Day versus... I mean, I started the show at, like, 6:30 because that's when I know the first match starts, usually. So I spent that whole thing wondering, like, if Andrade and Rey are on the pre-show, are they going to have, like, a two-second match? Because they had, like, 5 minutes left in the pre-show, and this tag match was still going. But they didn't tell me, but I think they said something early in the pre-show that it got changed. But...
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Did you watch the tag title match where the... You watched that. You watched the main show.
I did watch. I did see the
I mean... I just burst out laughing when Shane turned on Miz.
It was one of the funnier angles.
I can't explain why. It's just that when Shane all of a sudden just went, motherfucker, and just, like, attacked him, I'm like, I just started laughing.
It was really, really
funny. I
thought
it was just great.
And then Miz's dad, as people say.
Disapprovingly.
Yeah, but Miz's dad can't react. Like, he doesn't really do good reactions. But he looked, he had the exact correct amount of concern on his face. When Shane put Miz in that fucking, like, triangle.
Yeah.
It doesn't look concerning at all.
No.
So
kinda
he
looks like the... Kind of like how Zack Sabre won today. Wow.
But yeah.
Angle to set up a Mania. Well, it's good because at least these two aren't wrestling someone that could have a better match. You know, at least they aren't... This means AJ won't be wrestling Shane or whatever. It won't be Rey Mysterio versus The Miz or whatever. So, I'm fine with these two having a match with Mania. That means they won't have a match with other people. And I love The Miz, but he doesn't always have great matches. So,
yeah.
And then the women's title match. You watch Asuka versus Mandy Rose.
That was fucking terrible. Pretty bad.
I didn't think it was as bad as everyone said, but it's just
bad.
Because I still have nightmares of Asuka, Carmella, and I thought this was much better than
What a standard. Like, pretty much every match in history has been better than Asuka, Carmella.
Yeah. Then they have... Oh, there's something else I want to talk about with this show.
Okay.
Because the matches weren't going that long, and it's a 4-hour show. And I was wondering, will it end early? But this could end early. The reason why they're going 4 hours now is not because they feel like they have to fit everybody in, but because they want people watching the network as much as possible. Like, for as long periods. So they have filler, and that fucking Elias thing.
I know.
He came out and bitched about The Miz. I know. So a couple other matches happened. And I left the room, and I came back, and Elias was in there again, still complaining about The Miz. And I thought I had accidentally, like, rewound the video on my PS4, like, pressed the wrong button. And I thought, oh, he already came out and talked. Like, I must have... And then I was like, no, I'm live. He's just in there again, like, talking again. And he did that, like... Did that lead to anything? I don't even remember. Someone did come out and interrupt him eventually, right?
I think.
I don't even freaking remember. I'm sure someone did. I don't even remember who it was or why. But
who cares?
I'm so sick of Elias, by the way. I am so done with him every show. Mm-hmm. He went face to heel to face to heel.
We all know from past experience that's always a good sign. A good sign for a guy when he's turning randomly every 2 seconds.
Well,
worked really well for the picket with a big show.
Went forever with it, so
Do you ever see that YouTube video? It's just like the list of Big Show's turns.
I know there's been a lot of them. I can look at that list sometime.
But yeah, so
it's actually on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So you like knocked me off my train of thought here. What was after? I mean, they don't even do turns anymore.
No, they just.
I mean, guys
out,
just come out and say,
supposed
"Oh,
to
yeah."
Know.
Yeah, like now he's a heel now.
Like they just start talking and you just hear. Oh, I guess they're face now because they're acting nice to everybody. Oh, I guess they're heel because they said we suck.
Yeah, we don't really get turned. How many times has, like, Dana Brooke turned without turning?
Yeah. She's a face now, right? On Raw this week.
And I have no
Rusev
idea.
Rusev came out and just started yelling, and he's a heel now, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, very weird. So, The Kofi thing.
Yeah,
Look, let's talk about the Kofi thing for a second.
They're doing a storyline where Vince wants to troll the fans, which is real life in a way, so...
First of all, why are we doing the same story on both brands with Kofi and Becky? Like, we need two stories of Vince blocking somebody.
But in
somebody.
One, the guy that replaced the face is still a face. Kevin Owens... Like, Charlotte...
Well, you watch the TV. You can tell me.
But Kevin Owens is a... supposed to be a face.
Does this make any sense?
No. Well, the thing with Kevin Owens is he feels bad about it, but he's doing it anyway.
Okay.
And he came out. I do feel bad taking opportunity away from Kofi, but you know.
What a baby.
But he's obviously still, the way he talks and wrestles, he's supposed to be a face. I think. I don't know.
What a valiant baby face. I feel bad about taking this chance.
I mean, the first week he did this, I thought it was going to be a swerve and he was going to turn heel, but no, he's really supposed to be a face.
So like the Kofi thing, have they ever, again, you watch the TV, so you're my source for this. Have they ever explained why Vince McMahon doesn't want Kofi in this match?
Because he thinks the fans don't like him or something.
But the fans do.
I know. This is supposed to be like art imitating life, I guess. I don't know. He's like oblivious to who's over.
Like, has he given a reason why he thinks?
Because he's supposed to deliver the biggest match at WrestleMania, and Kofi isn't what the crowd wants, or isn't what people want. When the chants are fanning Kofi, I guess it's supposed to be like he's old and he's lost his mind and doesn't understand what's happening around him. I don't know. Is that the storyline he's going for? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't understand. It's because they're lazy and they said, let's take the storyline on Raw and put it on SmackDown because, hey, let's do two of them.
That was my next question. Why do we need two McMahon family denying somebody from going to WrestleMania?
Because it's not the McMahon family anymore. It's just Vince, remember?
Yeah.
Because Hunter suddenly turned face. He was kind of heelish until the Raw where Batista was coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden the show started with him like talking a promo how even though Vince shut down Becky, he's in her corner and he wants her to be in the... And like last week he was like... But I think Dave just came in and said, you're not making me face this time, so you better be a face. So I guess Hunter changed it, but
yeah. Anyway. So I don't know where we're going with this. That Kofi the Bar thing. That the crowd chanted what? This is boring. I think during this match.
Yeah, towards the end, they didn't even chant boring. They just chanted, "This is boring." It only went 5 minutes too, but
yeah.
But I mean, will this end with Kofi winning the title at WrestleMania? Do you think so?
I guess
this is an opportunity for lesser gods to win the WWE Championship since they don't think it's the top title right now, although I guarantee in 10 years they'll unify the belts again, and that stupid ugly red belt will mean nothing, and it will be, because this happened before. Remember when they put the big gold belt on Raw and it was the top title, and the WWE title was won by, you know, like JBL or whatever, and held for a million years.
JBL so, had so now, King. Oh no, King Booker was the world title.
Was the world title. Yeah. By that point, they swapped
them back. Yeah.
But for a while, the WWE title was on SmackDown, and JBL held it for like a million years. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who the fuck else held. That was pretty
much
it.
No one really. Right after that, they swapped it because Cena won it.
So. And then the big gold belt was like King Booker and Greg Holley,
Mark Henry,
Mark Henry,
Jack Swagger.
Yes, Jack Swagger's reign. That's like the one where if you tried to get me to go through all the reigns, that'd be the one to trip me up every time.
Christian.
Because I wasn't really watching at the time, especially not SmackDown.
Yeah,
and he had it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. So. He had a few feuds with that. A feud with Big Show. He had it longer than Christian or Dolph Ziggler had it.
Really?
He had it for a few months, I think, if you look. Like, not like a while, but longer than you think. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember him feuding with Big Show for like a million years with that title, but maybe I'm just, and I know Big Show never won it, so, and I think, and Kane won it for a little while.
Yeah. I do remember.
Then there was the Raw Tag Team 3-Way, that was pretty good, but there are better matches on the show.
Yeah.
When did you stop watching? You were still watching at this point? You watched the United States title?
No, I think this is around the time when I was, like, pretty much, I guess like 2008? Is when really, like, I was not really watching that much anymore.
Yeah, I think that's when you stopped watching.
So, anything after that, I'm going to be more iffy on. When the fuck did he... Oh, 2010, wow.
Yeah, he actually...
It's way longer than I thought it was. And he did have it for almost 3 months, wow. I had to look this up because I was curious. It's crazy. Okay, so, where were we on this card?
Next is the women's tag, because we talked about the four-way for the U.S. title.
Oh, the women's
tag
was
awesome.
I didn't see the women's tag.
That sucked. I hate the name of the champions. By the way, I don't know. I heard that they actually put a poll up when they're trying to think of a name and had options, and of what fans think that team should call themselves. And Boston Hug came in dead last, and that's what they went with. So
that's such a great.
I guess they just thought, perfect. Oh, we don't give a fuck what you think. So
that's like a perfect every story. Look, from now on, they put one of these polls up. Don't vote whatever you want them to pick. If you put Boston Hug Connection first, they would have been like, "God damn it! These fucking internet marks want Boston Hug. Can't give them that."
Yeah, it sucked. Nia Jax and Tamina might be the worst tag team in the world. I don't know. They're really horrible. But
Nia Jax is the good one. That's pretty.
I don't know about that.
Oh come on,
Tamina's never hurt anyone.
Tamina's the worst wrestler.
Yeah, but she's
maybe,
never hurt anyone.
But she might be the worst wrestler on earth.
I know, but
like, name a worse wrestler.
Well, the thing is,
Nia Jax is not worse.
She doesn't like nearly end people's careers.
Okay,
and shit. Like
that,
a fucking
I would rather watch somebody almost end your career than watch Tamina wrestle.
Okay,
Tamina's so fucking terrible.
And then came the three way, which was really weird because Kofi.
It was good that they got Mustafa Ali booed,
but they replaced a babyface. Another, I mean, he was the stuff he was doing. He was supposed to be a babyface. Ali.
Yeah. Why Daniel
but
Bryan?
But I guess they thought the crowd would side with him, but at the end of the match, they were still chanting Kofi.
I have so many questions here. First of all, why did heel Vince McMahon not like stack the deck against heel Daniel Bryan?
Promised a three-way.
Second of all, why did heel Daniel Bryan... No, it's supposed to be... Okay, going into the show was a singles match.
Yeah, but then he's told the New Day, well, I'll make it
so
a triple threat.
But let's stop this back up. Why the fuck did Daniel Bryan not give a shit that his fucking title match was now a three-way? And then it was still a three-way, even though the Kofi thing was a trick. Daniel Bryan's like, sure, I'll fucking defend. Like, why did he not give a shit?
I don't know.
It was very weird. Like, that's a heat. Shouldn't he be whining about being put in like a legitimately unfair situation at the last minute?
Yeah. Well, I guess because he's supposed to be a nut job. You know, he wants to save the world. He's crazy.
He
wants to recycle.
He's insane.
He's insane. He doesn't want the humanity.
I don't
want to
go through that fucking character
again.
Very
strange.
It's so stupid.
I do love when the WWE title logo comes up now and it has like the recycle symbol and shit. That is funny. But, and, you know, yeah, sure, whatever. And, I mean, that was still an awesome match, I thought.
Yeah. So we talk about the main event a little bit. I mean, oh, we can talk about Becky and Charlotte. Okay. Again, you watch this every week.
A lot of people were mad about this finish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really care anymore, but
this Becky and Charlotte thing and Ronda, does it make any sense?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. I mean, I only heard about some of this stuff only because Tommy Wiseau was retweeting it. You heard about this, right? Where she posted a picture of like Tommy Wiseau but with Ronda Rousey's face, like saying, "How's that acting career?" or something, like comparing her acting to Tommy Wiseau, and she. I mean, this is all, everything that's happening is a work, right? Or is it somewhat part shoot, like when she put Ronda's face on the end?
Give less of a fucking shit.
Anyway.
All I want to say about it is the actual wrestling angle, okay? Like, if you go step by step and try to, like, retrace the step, it really makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Becky wins the Rumble. Okay, that's fine. So that's a challenge. First of all.
But what happens earlier in that show? Do you
she
remember?
Loses clean to Asuka.
To who?
Asuka?
Who's that?
She's the
because
SmackDown.
After that match, she disappeared for like 4 weeks.
The SmackDown
and they've never
champion.
Mentioned again that she made... Because people think, well, she tapped out Becky because they're going to feud later. They have not mentioned it a single fucking time since.
And why... Becky?
So no, they're not.
And Becky doesn't give a shit either because she's like, okay, I won the Rumble. I could challenge the girl who just tapped me out, clean the middle, but instead I'm going to challenge Ronda Rousey. So okay, I guess that they did have their beef months ago. But why does she not want to win back, like, from Asuka, the woman who just tapped her out clean?
Because that
middle.
Never happened. That we're supposed to forget that ever happened. So they're obviously trying to make us forget it happened. They kept Asuka off the TV for weeks. They never mentioned that loss again.
So
they're trying to make us erase it from our minds.
Step one, she decides to challenge. She decides to challenge Ronda Rousey with the Raw Women's title. Step two, she loses that title shot because of her knee or whatever, right?
Yeah, which. Was hurt, but then she got cleared, but then she still has a knee injury, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Step three, the title shot at the Raw Women's Champion was given to SmackDown wrestler Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, there actually is a good explanation for this, they just never brought it up. Charlotte was the last person eliminated in the Rumble. Becky was not officially in the rubble. Finlay just told her she can go. I didn't know Finlay is the CEO of WWE. I don't know why. Like, him of all people. Okay, go. And I'm like, who the fuck is he? Why does he get... But they never brought that up. That would have been a good argument. Charlotte should have said, out of the people that were listed in the match, I was the last one. Therefore, I'm the winner.
Wait a second. So with... for the people at home, I want to be very clear. They have not given that explanation on television.
No, they never mentioned that.
That took you 5 seconds of thought.
I know. But they never could have just
put that. So, officially,
Charlotte never mentioned it in any of her promos.
Officially, Charlotte got the title shot for no reason.
Because Vince
likes
her. She's the chosen one.
Okay. So she got the SmackDown wrestler guy. Why doesn't the chosen one get chosen to challenge for the title on her brand?
Because the Raw title is more important, obviously.
I guess so.
And because for a while, we were supposed to forget there was a SmackDown Women's Champion.
That's true.
Because they just made her vanish into the ether.
So what's the next step, I guess, is Ronda decides to vacate the title, right?
Or she just gives it up until it means more.
Hands it to Stephanie at the end. You watched this shit!
I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. She just said... She screwed up her lines a bunch of times during that promo. Like, I forget. She said a bunch of stupid... And she said, "This unless it's a get match against Becky, it's the women's title doesn't mean as much as it should, so I'm leaving it here until it means more." But she didn't actually officially say she's vacating it.
But the next week on Raw, they announced...
Two SmackDown women were going to fight
for the Raw Women's title. So it was vacated then, I guess.
Becky took it... But then Ronda showed up and took it back, so I guess officially it's never been vacated.
So you can leave a title belt with your boss,
mm-hmm.
have them book a new match for the vacant title, but if you come back at the end of the show and grab the belt, you never vacated it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
And why would two SmackDown wrestlers... The entire Raw Women's roster has no problem with the fact that two SmackDown wrestlers...
Dana Brooke does, obviously.
So two SmackDown wrestlers were... And then it became a match for Becky to be added to Charlotte versus Raw. Not the match for the title shot. It's just, if Charlotte loses, nothing happens to her, but Becky can get out of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think I don't know if we're doing justice how little sense that any of that makes.
How come at Elimination Chamber, Ronda Rousey beat Ruby Riott in less than a minute, and then the next night on Raw, Ruby Riott got a rematch? Like, what? She lost, she got no offense, she lost in like 30 seconds or something. Why does she get a rematch now?
I don't know.
I mean, I know why. It's because it's scheduled for Alexa Bliss, and Ronda said, no, I want to face Ruby again because I'm better with her or something. So they just did that. I think that's... I heard the reason was, but...
Well, anyway. So none of this makes any fucking sense, and Ronda runs out and Ronda waits 9 minutes to do this. With this one-legged girl getting her ass kicked.
What if Becky tapped out, like, 2 minutes in?
Yeah.
She would have been screwed.
But... So Ronda runs out and punches Becky.
Yeah. But then on SmackDown this week, Becky revealed that was her plan from the beginning.
And again, Becky, I just want you to repeat what you said. On SmackDown this week.
Yeah, but she's a SmackDown. Or was it on Raw?
I think it was on
SmackDown.
Either way.
I don't even know why they have a brand split anymore, honestly. The NXT guys are going on both shows, so...
That's true.
We're going down that road where eventually the brand... And I guarantee you by the time SmackDown's on Fox and ratings are going to go down, the brand split's going to be dead. And it's going to last shorter than it did last time, but...
So anyway, so we just recapped that whole thing. It was really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And yes, I don't know.
And then the main event we talked
about. Three way match at Mania.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's good.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
You know what would have been better than all that bullshit? What? Becky wins the Rumble, faces Ronda at WrestleMania.
Yep.
What's the problem with that?
I don't know.
So, that's World Wrestling Entertainment. Vroom, vroom. Did this week's...
And this is one of the better shows ever.
It's one of the better shows. Did this week's TV, was it any good or no?
I'm trying to remember what happened.
I mean, you watched
there was some stuff. Oh, the main event on SmackDown was talking. Oh, did you hear about that? Vince said Kofi can get a title shot at WrestleMania if he wins a gauntlet match. He has to beat, like, six guys in a row.
Didn't he already win a gauntlet match to get the shot in the first place? I thought he won, like...
He was already in the chamber. That was to get the last spot in the chamber.
Oh, okay.
And it was a gauntlet match where... You know, this is a gauntlet match where it's him versus, like, seven guys.
Yeah.
Once he's pinned, the gauntlet match is over. So he has to... I think it's like... I'm trying to remember who all the people... I think it was Orton, both members of the Bar. I mean, what other heels are on SmackDown? I can't even remember. God, they all stood out there. Almas might have been one of them. Samoa Joe, I think. So I guess Kofi will beat all these people.
So Kofi's going to be the entire heel roster of SmackDown.
Or he loses and he gets in another way, which I wouldn't put it past them. But
It really, like, boggles my mind that people like this shit sometimes.
I don't know.
Why do you watch it?
I don't know.
I ask you this every time. Why do you watch? So that's Raw and SmackDown. We talked way longer about Fastlane than I thought we would, but...
Get ready for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't on Fastlane?
Who?
Braun Strowman. You know who he's feuding with?
Yeah.
Fucking Weekend Update guy. But okay. And a car, apparently.
Which was to promote a new figure.
I still think it was a reference to Street Fighter, but whatever.
So, you know, we could go to WrestleMania. It's in this city.
Yeah, it's all right.
I ain't doing that, no.
But I don't want to sit in my ass for 7 hours.
Yeah.
Or however long
I
would.
You would have to pay me, honestly. All right, so let's switch over the New Japan Cup.
Mm-hmm.
We finished with the Vroom Vroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, the last time we left off, it was with last week's episode. We had gone through the first three nights, so that left the last night of the first round, last Sunday, as I'm recording this, which was March 11th. In Takamatsu. It had a couple of matches I really wasn't that into. Toriano and Dave Roy Smith Jr. That match was really bad, actually.
I thought it was there to do what it did, and I thought it did fine.
It was really awful. What are you talking about?
It was like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it was fun.
But it wasn't, like, there was no comedy. What do you...
Yeah.
The fucking finish was like a... I don't know. It was...
Yano always does, whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't. No.
It was better than the other match. Next match.
I don't even know if that's true. Like, the finish was just a fucking.
All right, whatever. You're a Yano hater.
I'm not a Yano hater. The finish was just like a fucking cradle.
Yep, that's how Yano wins.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a comedy cradle.
I'm hoping he wins the whole thing, but
he's not with the coins. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Cabana, Makabe, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? What did you think of the semi-mains, Suzuki and Satoshi Kojima? Yeah,
that was awesome. That was like really good.
Suzuki straight up like committed a murder with the chair on Kojima.
Yeah,
at one point. Yeah.
Well, it looked like that thing could be taken out easily. Was that like a rigged chair to break easily, to break out? Or
I don't think it was rigged, but I don't think it was like... It's not... These chairs are not like steel chairs.
Okay.
Yeah, I went 3.5 on it. It was just two old dudes beating the fucking shit out of each other.
I went like 4.25. I love that match.
Okay.
I think I like Suzuki better than a lot of people.
It was really good. I mean, I'm not...
I remember you had like a fucking hissy fit when he got put into the Hall of Fame, so...
I didn't have a hissy fit. I just thought it was... Look, Jun Akiyama should
I know he should be in. There's a lot of people that should be in that are not. Well, not a lot, but there are a couple.
I really had no problem with Suzuki or with Yuji Nagata going in.
But
I just think Jun Akiyama
I do agree.
Anyway. I would put all three of them in.
And there are some lucha guys that should go in before.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
the whole LaParca and all
that.
That's
the whole. Well, I mean, LaParca. Okay.
It's the same thing. He should go in, but there are other people on that list that should go in before. All right. I think. And I don't even know that much about lucha, but I know that. And, alright, so what's the main event?
It was Sonata and Goto, which was awesome.
Yeah, that match was really good.
I went 4 stars on it. Did you go
home? I think I went 4.5.
Oh, wow.
I really love that match.
I mean, look, I didn't...
I just love Sonata, even though I know he's not winning, but he should.
I'm glad you do, because the Super J-Cast, like, buried him this past week, and I was just like...
Who?
The Super J-Cast, the other New Japan voice wrestling.
I
hope they'll listen. I hope Joe doesn't listen to this, and Joel or David, and just hear you go, "Who?"
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. Is it on your website?
It is on our website.
Oh, I don't. Okay. I didn't.
You're gonna meet
them.
You're gonna meet them at Media Weekend. Probably.
I've heard of that podcast,
and I hope you meet them, and I hope they're like, "Who?"
Okay.
But anyway, they bury poor Sonata. Look, Sonata's great.
He's fucking awesome.
I don't know what the fuck people want. And to be fair, the Super J-Cat is not just them who do this. But like...
Why would you not like Sonata? Is he just too good?
The thing is, he doesn't have charisma. He has his own type of charisma.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it can be like anti-charisma, you know? Like, not everybody has to be a smiley, happy baby face. Not everybody has to...
Do they hate Evil, too? Because he doesn't have charisma?
Evil has more charisma than Sonata.
They do the same thing! They come out there and look mad all the time!
Look... Not everybody has to be fucking Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, fucking doing these goddamn faces where you think you're gonna, you think they're doing under the fucking cheap seats. Like, I get it, okay? Sonata.
Do they hate Ishii too? he doesn't smile. He doesn't come out and.
I don't know. Look, Sonata is a great. I will always have.
Fucking love Sonata.
I will always have a spot in my promotion for a technically great wrestler who knows what he's doing, who can have great matches with anybody, who maybe not be the most charismatic guy on the roster.
He's plenty charismatic.
I think he is too, but people disagree. Anyway, Sonata is great. I don't know what's wrong with people. I thought this match was awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a little boring early on. You know, but I saw this a little bit later after everybody, so I kind of figured it must pick up. But like right after I tweeted that, it like got a lot better. Mm-hmm. You know, and like. The thing I noticed too watching it is like Hirooki Goto, he's not in my head as like a great kicker, you know? Like I wouldn't immediately think of him if you told me to list the great kickers in Japanese wrestling, but he has a great middle kick.
Yeah.
I always forget until he starts throwing it. Like his middle kick is really good.
And I agree, it did start out kind of boring, but it really picked up. When it picked up, it got awesome.
Yeah.
So.
And I like that Sonata, you know, maybe if it's one you want to make another critique of him, his persona might not have a lot of toughness, so I like that he got to stand there and trade with Goto and really get to show that, you know, he was able to do that. But yeah, I mean, like, all the counter stuff at the end was awesome, and just by the time it was over, I fucking loved it. I thought it was a 4-star match.
Mm-hmm.
You liked it even more.
I liked it better, yeah.
So it's just tell you, okay, so tell me why.
I love Sonata's counters. I love, like, the one part where he countered by like running up all three turnbuckles and he's just awesome, and they kept exchanging, and I just was on my edge of my seat because I wasn't convinced Sonata was winning, even though you were, because I just thought maybe they're going with some stupid storyline where LIJ sucks now and they all got eliminated in the first round. I don't know.
I really thought Sonata had no chance to lose once Naito and Evil got knocked out, but I just
thought it was an awesome match.
Yeah. So we'll be the Sonata defense squad, I guess, because I think he's great, and I think he's gonna have a few more great matches, you know, in this tournament at least. I mean, that match with Suzuki, I love that match with Suzuki in Sapporo.
Yeah,
I mean, I went 4.25 on it.
Yeah,
so
that
like,
was a great match.
I think they're gonna have another.
See how
great
long
one.
He lasts, though.
I think he's gonna beat Suzuki. You don't
we'll
think
see.
So? Well, no, I mean, people listening to this might already know.
Well, the only person left. I think now that Ibushi's been eliminated, I think it's a guarantee that Okada's winning this thing, I think.
Yeah.
And the only person left in the B cup in the Tanahashi's in the on the other side, yeah. Right? I mean, besides him, like the only other person left that you could think could beat Okada, maybe in the realm of possibility is Suzuki.
Yeah.
But even that's very unlikely. But like anyone else but those two, they're not going to beat Okada in the finals. Sabre Jr. is not going to fucking main event. They're going to put at least one Japanese guy in the main event of MSG, I'm assuming.
Well, it's going to be Okada. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, I know.
So, that was the first round of the New Japan Cup. And then we moved to the second round, which got underway a few days later in Okayama, which was night 5, actually 2 days later, on March 13th. So, this had one amazing, awesome, fucking incredible match. And also had Yoshihashi and Chase Owens. Poor Yoshihashi. It's all I could ever say with them. I mean,
I thought the match was fine.
I didn't even think it. I thought fine was a little...
Some people really hate Yoshihashi for some reason. I think he could be okay.
Okay, look. I used to defend him. He's been really bad since he came back at the start of the year.
He needs to turn heel.
I agree.
I really think he does, and I think I kept thinking that was going to happen. It might one day, but he needs to turn heel like yesterday.
I mean, Yoshi's idea of selling in this match seemed to be like flopping his leg up and down like he's a dead fish.
Yeah,
and he just looked like a bag of crap here.
And I thought for sure Chase was winning this match.
I did too. But they had Chase beat,
especially since I thought he'd get a little bit farther. Since I'm guessing if that's going to be the U.S. title match or MSG. I could be wrong. Where else? Or the, I guess maybe the cup finals, yeah. Possibly, but...
Or it could be the Notaku tour.
It could be, yeah. But I'm just... Because I know Juice mentioned it in, like, a post-match promo. I'll fight
MSG!
And
he attacked him.
Yeah.
And Chase attacked him.
So...
Well, whatever.
But now he got eliminated right after that, so... I don't... Whatever. He's a geek, too, so...
Yoshihashi going in the third round with possibly the least impressive two wins in tournament history is really on brand for him. So yeah. Good for him. So Taichi and Ishii. This is incredible.
Yeah, awesome.
I mean, just fucking, you know, starts out a little bit slow again, but you could say that for a lot of New Japan matches, so I think that's a little bit of a over critique. There was one woman who was doing the Taichi Go Home chants, like, on her own at the start of the match. I have to say, I found my arch nemesis. I have to go fight her.
This woman, you're going to go fight her?
I'm going to go fight her.
Okay.
I have to go to Okayama. I almost said Okinawa. And then, at one point, like, Ishii... So Ishii, like, starts no-selling Taichi's kicks.
Yeah, which is what should be done.
No, which is bad. And I was very angry that he was daring the no-sell dangerous teased kicks. Now, this match, I don't know if people at home know, and you might not even know this, know, like, the fucking... I mean, this is the disciple of Tenryu, Ishii, versus the disciple of Kawada, Taichi.
Oh, wow.
So they were using each other's... Like, Ishii was, like, using Tenryu moves, like the boot scrape at one point, and Taichi was clearly using Kawada moves, and especially once he got fired up. So it was like, yeah, these two disciples, these two Japanese legends, which I thought was really cool. And then... there was this look on Taichi's face at one point, which, you know, again, the kind of subtle stuff I think he never gets credit for, when he just, like, fired the fuck up and really got tired of the bullshit and, you know, just really decided to go right at Ishii. Like, I thought his facial expression there was amazing. And, you know, Taichi in this entire tournament, in both matches, basically, he starts out doing this bullshit and then he just fucking flips a switch and goes into dangerous team mode, and it's just so awesome. You know, my only little... I have a little nitpick here where I didn't like the ref bump. It looked really awkward. Could have been smoother. But then, the absolute best moment of the match, where Taichi picks up the microphone stand, the ref is bumped, Ishii gets up and gets right in his face and is like, fucking do it, motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
dares
him, and Taichi could do it. Mm-hmm. And he looks at him, he's like, I don't want to do it. I want to beat you with my own fucking fist and my own fucking leg, and throws the microphone stand down. I leaped out of my chair, and I was like fucking fist pumping.
That was
so
awesome when he did that.
One of the greatest moments of the entire tournament. And so they fucking go crazy with each other, and then because he's Taichi, he still has enough of the fair fight bullshit and tries to low blow him and get the Gato clutch. I wish that had been the finish.
No.
That would have been a perfect finish. But no, Ishii kicks out and he wins the match at the end.
Yeah. And I thought Taichi might win because I knew the opponent was Yoshihashi, and I was like, are they going to have two stablemates wrestle? And
they are,
and they're doing it in the other one too, in that same block. It's that whole thing is all chaos, guys, now. But
this was 4.5
stars. Yeah, I remember I gave it 4.5 too.
Okay.
I didn't say anything, I was just going to wait, because I thought there was a chance he'd be like, I'm just disappointing 4 stars, and I'd be like, well, for once, I like a Taichi match better than you. But
look, I went on Twitter afterwards thinking my 4.5 was going to be a hot take, and it was like, everybody had it 4.5.
Yep.
Some guy replied, I mean, not some guy, Andrew, who's a big Taichi fan, said, no, it was 5, John.
No.
And some people...
I wouldn't go that far. But
yes, Dave Meltzer only gave it 4, so Dave Meltzer was the one who didn't like it as much as us. But yeah, that was an incredible match. So this night was awesome. The next night, not quite so awesome.
Nope.
Starting with Will Ospreay and Lance Archer.
And this was the better match of the two, I thought.
Now, did you like this match as much as some of the other people did?
I didn't like it as much as they did, but I thought it was fun and I enjoyed it. But it wasn't 4 or above stars.
Because pretty much everybody else I saw was like giving it 4+.
No, I mean that spot you showed me, even though it was cool, it was really stupid and made no
sense. I want to make sense. I'm sorry about that little bing. You hated that spot in real time too, right?
I didn't hate it. I just thought when that happened, I was like, "Well, that was stupid."
I mean,
what was Archer doing there? Did he break into prayer? Why did he just keep nailing?
Let's explain. I tweeted out a GIF of it. If you missed it, courtesy of at Wrestling Ratings, who was on here a few weeks ago, Thomas. And so the spot is Lance Archer. He has Will Ospreay up for that blackout thing. Right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, it's like basically a reverse Outsider's Edge. Or whatever the fuck. There's a
Razor's Edge?
Razor's Edge, Outsider's Edge. There's another word for it. I can't remember what the fuck it is right now. But he has him up. Go listen to Andrew Ritz talk if you want move names. He has him up in it, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's very similar, actually, that the T-Hawk move, that move the T-Hawk does. I can't remember the name of it.
From Street Fighter?
Night Ride. No, T-Hawk from Dragon Gate, dumb fuck. So he has him up, and Will Ospreay basically, like, he lands in front of him.
Turns around.
He doesn't do anything to Archer. I think that's important to say.
Like he just jumps out of it.
He just jumps out of it, okay?
But he doesn't touch Archer.
He doesn't touch Archer.
But Archer just...
Archer...
stays kneeling.
Archer ends up in a kneeling position.
Like someone pressed the pause button.
And just stays there.
Yeah.
There's no reason for him to stay in a kneeling position.
He just keeps... He doesn't jump back. He just like he's like... Like someone said, freeze! Like, or...
or someone, like, pause button's a good one.
Pause
like
button and...
pause his controller. You can see him look up, like...
I mean, it's only for a couple seconds.
But it's really...
But it still looks dumb that he doesn't, like, get up.
And you can see him look up, like, well,
just
like...
just waiting for Ospreay to kick him.
It's really... And then Will Ospreay, I think what happened is he landed awkwardly or something. And
like, he had to catch his balance, basically.
Catch his balance.
He couldn't immediately...
But here's the other problem. In that moment... maybe that's not the time to do your fucking charge up spin kick thing that takes a million years anyway.
Yeah.
I actually, people were blaming the balance thing. I think it would look stupid even if he hadn't lost his balance.
Yeah.
That would have saved like a millisecond. Archer still would have had to fucking like lean there in fucking prayer while Will did his fucking flip and kicked the guy. And it's like, it looks so dumb. So I didn't like the match that much to begin with before this. So that's probably why I'm even lower than you. Like, I gave it like 2.25. You know, but like, that was the exact moment I was finally getting into it. I thought the first 10 minutes, you know, I understand the story. Big man, little man, fine. But like, it was just so boring. And I didn't think that beatdown needed to go 10 minutes long. And, you know, I mean, like, Will at least didn't do his screeching, so that's good.
Yeah.
But then just finally, as it was getting good, they did that cool sequence with Will jumping over the pounce and then getting pounced. Anyway, so I was finally getting into it. I'm like, okay, this maybe it's finally picking up here. And then they do that fucking spot, and I'm just like, well, now I'm out of the match again. Like, I'm someone who really, I don't know, I need to go with the momentum of a match when I'm watching it. I want to suspend my disbelief and enjoy it and really get... And when something that fucking fake and stupid looking happens, I'm just like, well, I mean, now I'm, like, my emotional investment's gone.
You're saying this, I just want to ask, what's your favorite promotion?
That's... comedy wrestling.
Okay.
It's very different. Noted DDT hater here. This is why Taylor thinks you have bad opinions.
No, I'm just saying that you give a pink. You half the time listening to your podcast, you're yelling about stupid stuff, and then I don't know. It's like
if this was a comedy match,
okay.
It'd be different.
Okay,
this is not a comedy match. This is supposed to be serious.
All right, I understand.
Do you understand? Okay, you don't. I don't know if you do understand the difference between serious and comedy. If this was a comedy match, it would have been a great spot because it was kind of fucking funny.
No,
but it's supposed to be a serious spot. Anyway, but yeah, so this is about what I was like. I don't understand the hype here. There were some big move kickouts. There was a really big choke slam that looked cool. But yeah, I mean, like 2.25. That's what I was at.
Okay.
It was a below average match to me. It really wasn't anything special. And I understand I'm on an island here. Everybody else loved this. I'm understanding that everybody...
I loved it. I liked it.
Well, but... you're the only one. Everybody else had a 4+.
I guess I'm on an island too. I don't know.
But, I mean, I understand too that everybody liked Will Ospreay.
They didn't all love the main event, did they?
No, I mean, I heard some people liked it more than I did.
I mean, like you were saying to me earlier, I have no idea who this... I mean, I know who this guy is. I just don't know who he is in New Japan.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him as being the one without the Berserk tattoos on NXT and Noah. But who is this guy in New Japan? What's his character? He's here? And yeah.
He's bad.
That's all he's come to New Japan. That's his character. And
he's got blue pants. He's very...
He won his first match. And
he's angry.
The second match, like, the problem was that I never thought for a 1/1000th of a nanosecond that Okada was ever going to lose to this guy. Like,
yeah,
so
I mean, it was
hard
very...
to pay attention. It was hard to get into it. I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Hit your moves. Okada's going to win with the Rainmaker. That's great. Counter. Okada's going to win. Oh, yeah, you ducked it. He's going to win with the Rainmaker. That he won with the Rainmaker. Like, this, like it's kind of like when Okada defended the title against Sabre last year. I just... after Sabre won the cup, I just never thought for a second Okada was going to lose.
Yeah.
And even with his match with Tanahashi last year that everyone loved, the first one.
I loved that one.
Just, I never thought, and the whole match, Okada destroyed him, so I just never thought.
Well, here, I mean, I think it's better that way because at least that played into what your expectation is.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
It's like your expectation is Okada's going to win. It's like, here's some holds, brother.
Yeah.
Like, Mikey put up a million holds.
It wasn't like a bad match or anything.
Yeah. I mean, like, I went 2 3/4, which is like slightly above average. Never connected with me, really. You know, it was fine.
His match with Ospreay will be better.
Yeah, probably.
That match will be awesome.
I would have gotten a little higher, but I thought the big finishing reverse sequence at the end, I actually thought looked kind of awkward.
Mm.
Maybe just Mikey's not used to going at that speed coming from fucking NXT. But,
I guess that's possible.
Yeah. But yeah, so there you go. That was Okada and Mikey.
There's nothing really else to say about that match.
Yeah.
It was there.
So the last two second round matches we watched just now before we came on here and recorded.
Taguchi's quest is over.
Taguchi's quest is over. Tanahashi and Taguchi. I thought Tanahashi and Taguchi was really good.
Yeah.
3 3/4-star match.
He made Taguchi look like a threat, I thought, at many points. And Tanahashi's really good at that. And at this point, with who's left, I would. I know this probably isn't happening, but I would consider having Tanahashi win the tournament and have a rematch with White. And probably White retains and beats him again. But, you know, I want Tanahashi to win this tournament now because, I mean, I don't think Ishii has a chance in hell, and neither does Ospreay. So, and Ibushi's out now, which I'm not happy about. But and Sonata, I don't think has a chance in hell. But watch, you know,
Sonata might get to the final.
This goes up and Sonata wins the freaking thing, and I look like a moron. But that's not happening. But I part of me hopes Tanahashi wins this tournament, even though it's probably not happening. But he had a great match with Taguchi. Made Taguchi look, even through beating him, made him look real good, like he's a serious threat. Like, I love how Taguchi can be like a jokester, but then have like an awesome match.
And, he's
always been like that.
Buddy, your shots of my DT love before. That's basically everybody in DT. They can be jokesters.
Okay.
And then they can come through in the serious match in the end.
All right. And he was great here.
But yes, so it came to a slow start, but it got better, like, pretty much around the time Taguchi finally started getting offense and then hit this great dive to the floor, hit Cork and Rockin'. There was this really fun exchange of the end where Taguchi kept getting these flash pins. There was one that looked really, really good where he just, like, sat down on, like, a roll-up reversal where I'm like, that could have been the finish if they were going to do it.
Yeah.
So it was really good. He kept going back to the ankle lock, and then Tanahashi finally won with the dragon suplex hold, which I hope he starts winning some matches with that again. He has a great dragon suplex.
Yep.
3 3/4. Ibushi Saber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this again I went 3 3/4 on, but for this it'd be a little disappointing.
Considering
I went 4 3/4 on their G1 match last year.
It's weird they only went like 16 minutes or something.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like they were saving stuff.
But for what? It feels like they've had like multiple matches now, and I always feel like, oh, they're saving it for next time. Well, when?
No, the G1 match was 4 3/4. I don't know what you're talking about. It's one of my favorite matches of the year last year. But this one just wasn't up to that level.
Saber Jr. I hated for a while, but then I started really liking him. I thought he had an awesome G1 last year. And he was really good, but then this match, I don't know, kind of disappointed me. And then he won, and that... And I thought that hold he won with looked really stupid. I feel like, I mean, he's the guy that could have beaten Ibushi with a million other things, and that one, I don't know, it looks like he was just giving him a yoga stretch. He has some holds that look like, holy shit, that person must be in a lot of pain, like in reality. This one didn't look like that. Like, he has some awesome, like, submissions, and this one I didn't think was that good, and he should have beaten Ibushi with a better one, I thought, but...
So here's my... I'm going to give you my little complaints here. Because most of the match I thought was great. First of all, I thought Ibushi's... you know, a leg match is a tough thing to do. And I thought Ibushi's leg selling was very inconsistent. You know, he would be like, oh, my leg's really in pain. And 2 seconds later, he'd be jumping all over the place and forgetting about the leg. And then again, selling the leg. So I thought that was very inconsistent. You know, like you said, the finish was a little like, eh. I mean, I think...
Please don't bring up that Okada-Suzuki match you bring up every freaking time.
Okay, I wasn't gonna, but that's a great example. The best example, probably, of that. But yeah, it's the Kamigoe counters, and then, you know, Ibushi maintaining his hold in his arms, that was cool, but I don't know. It just felt like when we got to that... Like you were saying, the hold, maybe because the hold didn't look that impressive, but I really think that was... you know, just a weird spot to end it on.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like they had another 5 minutes of...
I mean, I think they're trying to create a thing where Sabre can get the submission at any moment, even earlier than you think. Even from out of anywhere, which, you know... I mean, I just really wanted to see Tanahashi Ibushi again, but...
Well, okay, I will say, now, here's where I'm going to take my lap of victory. I screamed about this on the prediction show. I talked about this on Twitter. I never in a million years thought they were giving us Tanahashi Ibushi, the rematch of last year's G1 finals, in the fucking New Japan Cup quarterfinals.
Yeah.
That never made any sense to me. And for sure, I did not think we were getting Okada Ibushi in the final of this. Because they haven't done that.
That one I thought might happen, but...
They have not done that match since in real New Japan canon. Not counting Ibushi under a tiger mask. They have not done that match since the 2014 anniversary show.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
That is either going to be the main event of Budokan, one of the two G1 block finals, or it's going to be the G1 final.
Mm.
Probably one of the two G1 block finals, I think. I think they're going to use it to sell out.
It's been, not
counting... Even if you count Tiger Mask, it's been like almost, it's been 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
If you don't count the Tiger Mask thing, it's been
5 years, yeah.
I mean, they're saving that match.
I mean,
match.
And even, like, last year, I knew going to the Cup, it's either going to be... Ibushi or Sabre Jr. wins the cup because those are the two guys that haven't faced Okada in this title reign.
Yeah.
And it ended up being Sabre. So they're really, even back then, they were saving Ibushi.
Yeah.
Once again, I'm not counting the Tiger Mask thing.
Well, but, even if you do, it's still been 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's still a long fucking time.
But like I said, if you take that away, it's been a long, so they're really saving. It would be very funny if they...
But so I never thought they were doing Tana Ibushi, and I definitely never thought they were doing Okada Ibushi. I mean, Ibushi's got his next direction. He's challenging Naito for the IC title. I think probably at Sengoku Lord is my guess. The new show in Nagoya, which is the weekend where Anime Boston, which is annoying because we have to make time to watch that. But
you think that's where he's facing him?
I think so.
Ibushi? That's possible.
If
Okada wins the title.
No, well, Ibushi and Naito, I'm saying.
Oh, Ibushi and Naito.
For the IC.
Oh.
Because Ibushi beat him in the first round. So I think it's going to be Sengoku Lord.
Yeah. But for the IC title, these guys should be feuding over the world title.
Well, that's not what they're doing with them right now. Yeah. It's okay. As long as they get...
At least the IC title means something.
As long as they get main events, I'm okay. They need main events.
It's like when Nakamura was like the most over guy. Yeah. He was always IC champion, and then he retired. But
Yeah, and then he retired. So yeah, so that's this show. A little disappointing. I mean, you know, it says something.
Tomorrow should be awesome. It'll have Yano versus Colt and fuck all you haters.
Can you not cut me off? I was about to say it's something when it's a 3¾-star match and we say it's disappointing. But yes, tomorrow looks good. What?
Can I talk now?
Yes, you can talk.
Colt Cabana versus
Toriyama. It'll be a fun match.
Awesome.
I agree.
And Sonata and Suzuki will be awesome. Be Sonata's fucking awesome. And if you don't agree, then.
This is the Sonata Defense Podcast.
I guess he wants Sonata to be a stand-up comedian in his part-time.
He does not have the charisma
of the great Dolph Ziggler, if that's what you're looking for, but he is still a great wrestler.
I don't understand what people...
I didn't
Sonata
know until you told me that people hate Sonata. Now
Sonata's the weirdest one to me of all the...
It's making me question, like, reality. Like, how could someone not like Sonata?
It is very strange to me.
I thought, like, Ishii is like a guy everyone but you love.
What are you talking about? I love Ishii.
That podcast you did.
I don't root for... The one guy I don't like is Ishii. It doesn't mean I don't like him. I just don't like him. I don't root for him. Okay.
I can't imagine the hate you guys.
I didn't get any hate.
Oh, really?
Because people understood the point I was making. Because unlike you, they have listening comprehension. I think Ishii's great. I just wasn't. I don't often find myself.
I can understand why someone.
Ishii's main rival at the time for the longest time, buddy, was Tetsuya Naito.
Oh, okay.
So I usually root for Tetsuya Naito over Ishii.
I can understand why someone doesn't like Omega, but I can't understand how you could hate Sonata. But whatever. That one's really like a mystery to me.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It's a mystery to me how people can still be dug in their heels on Taichi.
Mm-hmm.
But considering he's had two fucking points.
What if they're doing it ironically or to troll people?
What, ironically hating Taichi?
Yeah.
I don't get it either. So Momo, Watanabe, and Jungle Kiona. That's the last thing we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
You watched that match from Stardom in Nagoya, which I should have watched a lot sooner. I fucked up. But that means we get to talk about it here.
Mm.
This match was incredible. It was basically two like Joshi. It was a classic Joshi match in a lot of ways, but also like with their own, you know, kind of spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think, and this is going to be maybe a little bit of a hot take now, I think Momo is better than Yu Shirai.
Okay.
I think she surpassed her.
I think I need to see more of her to decide that. But
and it's crazy. You could be right. It's crazy that it's even a debate considering she's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard a lot of things about her. Yeah. How great she is.
Yeah. I mean, like, she's 18 years old. She's been doing this for 4 years already. And she's fucking incredible. So, and she was incredible in this match. I mean, Jungle Kiona's good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to take anything away from Jungle. She's really good. She's, I like her whole powerhouse gimmick. But, like, Momo Watanabe is, like, next level.
Mm-hmm.
And she might be one of the three. I mean, she definitely, to me, is one of the five best wrestlers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the three best. And I had her as one of the three best last year. I think I can't remember if I voted her second or third for most outstanding. But she's incredible. But, yeah, so this match was pretty much exactly what you expected, which was Momo and Jungle kicking each other's asses. I mean, I thought, like, there was a long stretch where Momo just beat the shit out of her, where Jungle, like, I thought the story they were trying to tell was basically Jungle was, like, you know, Jungle's big, like, kind of on the big side for Stardom. She's one of the bigger women, and she can take a lot of punishment, but she's just not on Momo's level when it comes to, like, you know, wrestling technique. So she just got her ass kicked and her ass kicked and her ass kicked. And they're in her hometown, too.
Yeah.
In Nagoya. Which is why she got all those flowers before the match. And the crowd is just, like, getting more and more and more behind her. But she's just getting her fucking ass kicked all this time. Until finally she catches Momo on the floor and like, power bombs her on the apron. Which is one of the, just a fucking sick-ass spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and finally got some offense going. But then Momo just starts her down again because she's just too good. So, you know, she's just a classic Joshi ace where, like, you just cannot keep her off of offense for very long at all. You know, and just kicking, like, there was one part where she did the counter into, again, I'm really bad at move names, so I apologize. That, like, buster thing, you know what I'm talking about, right? She hooks both her legs and then, like, falls down. I know there's a name for it, and she might even have her own name for it, but I'm just really awful move names. But yeah, I mean, like, the counter into that was just so awesome. And the way she, like, kicked her arm right at the end, again, like, the little tiny things. It's called the B driver. There you go. I forgot she took it from Yoko Bito. I should have known that. Before she got the Peach Sunrise, I didn't remember the name of that. It's like that three-quarter suplex. She, like, kicks her arm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, Jungle's arm is, like, she can't really, like, get the arm to grab it to get the Peach Sunrise. So she, like, kicks her arm as hard as she can, and her arm, like, drops down into position for her to grab it and hit the move. It's, like, little fucking touches like that that you don't see in a lot of other wrestling matches that are just so fucking good. And, like, looks, I mean, that looks like a fight, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it looks like something someone would do in a fucking fight. You would kick this woman's arm to have it in position to hit this move. It just looked incredible. Incredible little touch. Incredible match. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Of course, you can see it on Stardom World. 4.5 stars. You may have seen it already. So, you know, it happened quite a while ago now. So, you know, I don't want to act like I'm giving any kind of big revelation here. But if you haven't seen it, definitely go out and check it out. So, really incredible match. And it's definitely going on my match of the year list for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Well, I just want to say I have trouble. I know this is weird, but I have trouble watching a match with no commentary unless I'm there live for it.
Mm.
Even if it's in a different language, I don't know. I guess I'm just so used to it. So it was hard to, like, and I mean, I don't know any backstory going into the match or anything.
There really wasn't that much backstory.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was really good. I'm looking forward to the Stardom show that we see in New York. I'm looking forward to it. But
yeah,
when did that match air? How long was it?
I'm trying to figure.
Did you know the finish already?
Or did you know
who won?
I did know who won already. It was Stardom World in Nagoya. What the fuck was the date? I could have sworn it was like end of February. But I will find it. Hold on. Gripping Radio, I'm sure. But I think it was the end of February. And she also set the record, by the way, for most Wonder of Stardom. Okay. It was March 3rd. It's been 13 days. That's not that bad. So, there you go. But, yeah. I mean, the other big, like, the big praise I can give it to is that it's a 21.5 minute match that felt like it was like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is always really, really. I mean, the same phrase I can give Naito Ibushi from last week, where it just felt so much shorter than it actually was. Sometimes 21 minute matches can feel like they're fucking 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. So whenever a match feels way shorter, I like it a lot. But yeah, so they should both be at the Stardom show we're going to.
That'll be awesome.
Should be exciting. And we're definitely looking forward to it. So folks, we got a couple Twitter questions. Not that many, but we can wrap it up with that. You don't have any other thoughts on the match?
No, I've asked you before, what's the easiest way to watch Stardom? And it's to
Stardom World.
Stardom World. All right, yeah. So maybe I should sign up for that.
So Private Eyeball, why do you all hate Bea Priestley so much? I don't know who you think you're writing into. When the fuck have I ever talked about Bea Priestley? I mean, I have no real
promotion. She's in Stardom. I've heard of her.
Yeah, she's Will Ospreay's girlfriend. I really don't have.
Oh yeah.
I don't really have any strong opinions on her.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen her wrestle. So
I don't think she's great or anything.
I've heard some podcasts she's been on, but
I don't think she's bad. She's okay.
Nice. I saw that and I was like, what did you do, John?
I don't think I've ever trashed her.
I mean, I would want to know why you hate Ishii so much, but I still want to know why. Well, I know why you hate Omega, but
oh, why do I hate Omega?
Let's not get into that. Anyway,
At Graham Not Murdy, out of Narita, Umino, and Tsuji, do you think any are far away from their excursion? Each seems to get better and show more fire with each tour.
Who? Narita, Tsuji, and who?
Umino.
Umino's got to be.
Umino's
the best
leaving.
Isn't he leaving? I mean, they put him in the cup. He must be. Jesus, they're ready to.
Narita's gonna go this year too, I think. The only one.
Tsuji might be staying a little bit.
Tsuji be here a while.
And out of the three, I guess he's the roughest around the edges, but. But he's great. I mean, all their students are always great. Like are they gonna do any more of those Young Lions shows anymore? They haven't done one in a while. I used to love those shows. Everyone on Twitter would complain. Not exciting enough. I'm like, these are shows where we're seeing these young guys and show what they've learned and everything. So shut up and let me enjoy my 2.5 hour 6-match shows with the old men versus the young boys. I love those shows, but there haven't been one in a while. And yeah. I remember when Juice had an awesome match on one of those shows against like Nagata or something. But I think are they asking who's the best of the three or who's the leaving soonest? Basically, I'm assuming Umino. He's got the most experience.
Yeah, I think Umino. They haven't said anything.
By the way, was that cup match the first match that his father refereed that he was in?
Maybe.
I can't imagine ever seeing the two of them in. That's the first time I heard the announcer say, "Oh, his father tells him to stop." I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like, I don't think they've ever.
Imagine having your dad refereeing your match. Yeah. Like, all right, there, son, back it up.
Good job, son. But you didn't get the submission.
Then at Lost in Comedy 89, how many? Well, he asked this in Spanish, so I'm relying on Google Translate here. How many stars for Momo and Jungle? I said 4.5.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't feel I'm right to rate it because I don't watch enough Stardom.
I assume this was his. Google Translate says, "Is it better fighting in the history of Stardom?" I assume it's like
is it the best match in the history of Stardom?
No.
I'm guessing no.
Io Shirai versus Kairi Hojo from, I think, January 2016. That's like one of my favorite matches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Io versus Kairi, and there's like, or Io versus Mayu, and I think there's a Mayu versus Utami match I like better from the finals of the 5-star GP last year, and the first Momo Io match.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of matches. I mean, this is 4.5 is really good, but I mean, there's just been a lot of really high quality Stardom matches.
So are there people that don't speak English listening to the show?
No, he just, I don't know why he did that. You have to ask him.
Oh. Do you know who that is?
I know who that is.
Is he? Oh, okay.
At Rules Goldberg, English commentary has been hammering the personal brackets aspect of New Japan Cup. Is this a purposeful tie-in to NCAA March Madness for Western fans? I assume so.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, why would you not do that? All right, so that's
what I kept thinking. Yeah.
So that'll wrap it up here, folks. Thank you, as always, for listening.
We gotta get to round one.
Yeah, we're going to play some Japanese arcade games.
Better than Dave and Buster's.
Much better than Dave and Buster's. Next week we'll be back on the show with I'll have Taylor on, your buddy, who loves your wrestling.
Why are you trying to make me not like Taylor? Like,
What you and Taylor are going to have a feud.
No, we're not off. Feuding!
Oh, God, shut
anyway,
up.
Anyway, so,
Taylor... I've been to Japan with the guy.
You're going with him again this year.
Yeah, and I felt bad for some of the experiences he had to have with other members of our group. But, that's another story for another day.
So, Taylor...
You should tell him that guy's coming again.
Felix is not coming.
Okay.
So, Taylor...
How do you know Felix doesn't listen to this show?
I'm pretty fucking sure.
You better be careful what you say.
I'm pretty fucking sure. So Taylor is going to be on next week. We're going to talk the end of the New Japan Cup, first of all. Also a new DDT Korakuen and a new All Japan Korakuen. So if you missed the DDT and All Japan talk, those will both be back next week. So we're going to talk all about some Japanese wrestling. I'm like hiccuping now because the thing knows it wants me to end.
Yeah.
So, Quillen, do you want to plug your Twitter?
I don't tweet often, but I tweet at a what's my
you tweet at Twitter. I'm underscore not underscore Quinn.
Yeah, that one.
Okay,
you can follow me. I usually only tweet when I'm because Raw and SmackDown I don't watch live, and I obviously don't watch the New Japan shows live because they're in the middle of the night. The only thing I like live tweet on are the pay-per-views, freaking the fuck out about how horrible they are. But,
I live tweet New Japan shows even when I don't watch them live. I just tweet.
Well, I'm afraid someone will reply and be like, I'm halfway through the show. What do you think that blah 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 on the main event? And I'd be like, dumb fuck.
That has happened.
That's why I don't do it, buddy.
Yeah.
But because people don't think. But anyway, yeah. So you said my Twitter, so we're good.
And of course, you can always follow us on wrestling.
And we'll be at a bunch of wrestling shows at WrestleMania
Thank
weekend.
Thank you for interrupting my plug.
Well, I don't care, but and I don't even remember what shows we're going to. They've changed a million times, and I'm still waiting to say, oh, instead of going to this, we're going to that now. So we got to sell these tickets. So,
So we're going to Evolve WXW and DDT on Thursday.
Can't wait for Evolve.
Well, there's going to be a DDT team there now, apparently.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm excited, I guess. And then Friday we're going to Stardom, and Saturday we're going to MSG.
Wrap them up.
I'm trying to! I was trying to get the plug and you interrupted me!
If you say that thing.
What?
Just wrap it up.
So, you can follow us on Twitter, at WrestleOmakase. Wrestling would not fit.
Oh, Jesus! Every fucking show you say that. We get it now, John. Every time I'm listening to one of these... Wrestling would not... I'm like, yeah, I know. Oh, I didn't hear that the first 50,000 times, but now I get it. Okay.
Have I said that on literally every episode?
I've been trying to. You've been trying to?
I think I've been trying... I did do it on purpose. Okay. I mean, I don't know if I have it on every episode. I hope so.
Everyone I listen to.
So... You can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase.
Because wrestling wouldn't fit.
Wrestling wouldn't fit.
Yeah,
next week, like I said, I'll be on here with Taylor. We'll be covering New Japan Cup, DDT, and All Japan. Until then, thank you as always for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.